Good afternoon. Welcome into another edition of The Scoop here on KLGR 1490 AM, FM 95.9, also myklgr.com. We have plenty to get to yet again here today. I, for exactly this reason, have attempted to limit talk about Vikings quarterback spot because it seems like this week there has been a ton of different quarterback-related things to discuss. And again, we will do that a little bit today with some new info coming out that we'll talk about. Plus, a look at the Minnesota Timberwolves, who just cannot seem to get any help from anybody else in the Western Conference as they try to lock up a playoff spot. We'll talk about that today. Plus, plenty more. A lot of football news with franchise tag deadline day being today, so we'll talk about that quite a bit here as well. So without further ado, why don't we get right to it? We'll take a look at our top sports headlines here for today. Taking a look at our top sports headlines for today. Some new info coming out today that it appears the Minnesota Vikings have an offer set and ready to go for quarterback Kirk Cousins. As it sounds as though, according to some sources plugged into the situation, that the Vikings have a three-year $90-plus million guaranteed deal ready to go, and they will be offering that to Cousins once free agency starts. Whether or not you're a fan of Cousins, it seems as though the Vikings certainly are ready to try to get a long-term situation, a long-term fix at the quarterback position after the carousel has repeatedly spun round and round over the last couple of seasons. So we'll talk about that a little bit here today, see what the latest is. Back to the NBA, the Portland Trailblazers complete a comeback, a big fourth quarter for Damian Lillard as the Trailblazers beat the Los Angeles Lakers. Looked like the Timberwolves might get some help from the Lakers in downing the Portland Trailblazers and pushing them further back in the standings, but no dice, and the Wolves continue to have bad luck in terms of getting help. We'll talk about that at the end of the show here today as well. A big blow for the Gopher football team, as it was announced today that running back Shannon Brooks will miss the entire season after a non-contact knee injury that he suffered. So Brooks will redshirt this year, and he'll be ready to go once again in 2019. Minnesota Wild hosting Carolina tonight as they continue to try to solidify a playoff spot. And franchise tag day throughout the NFL, including running back Le'Veon Bell, who is getting the Kirk Cousins treatment. He will be franchised once again this season as the Steelers not able to work out a long-term deal as of yet. So Bell, of course, not particularly pleased with that announcement, but nonetheless, he will get plenty of money here this year. Also, a couple of other players who have been franchised, defensive back LaMarcus Joyner. The Panthers able to avoid putting a franchise tag on kicker Graham Gano. But a couple of other tag notes to get to here in the show today as well. So that is a look at our top sports headlines here for today. We'll take a quick break, and we'll talk a little franchise tag day, plus some other NFL notes. That's all coming up after this.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Miss today's episode of The Scoop? Find each and every episode on myklgr.com under the Sports tab.
Back here on The Scoop, and again, we're going a little NFL heavy this week with a lot of different rumblings throughout the league as to the whereabouts of a certain top-tier quarterback. Now, earlier today, weekly guest of the show, AJ Mansoor, put together a post at KFAN.com in regards to the Vikings being ready to offer Kirk Cousins a huge three-year, $91 million deal. And AJ has this to say. According to the Burgundy blog, former Redskins tight end Chris Cooley said that an agent, not necessarily Kirk's agent, but an agent nonetheless, told him that the Vikings are set to offer Cousins a three-year, $91 million fully guaranteed deal in free agency. And you can read into this a few different ways. One, it is legit information. Cooley has nothing to gain other than getting his name in the news for the first time since retiring in 2012. Two, it's leaked information or disinformation from the Cousins camp looking to leverage Kirk's value against the other teams that might be interested, primarily the New York Jets. Three, this is legit and a good deal for the Vikings. While you're giving up a lot of guaranteed, giving Kirk over $30 million a year, it's shorter term, making it slightly lower risk. If it works out, you're going to re-sign him anyway in 3 years, which is very true. That's been the whole thing, I think, that's been the most interesting about this entire saga, is this notion that You can't pay a quarterback. You can't pay them regardless of any situation. And it hasn't been a widespread theory, but it just, you look at what would happen if they went with other options. Obviously, it's similar to what happened with Case Keenum this year. They brought him in on a very minimal deal, $2 million for 1 year. He has the career season of his life. And now Keenum is going to likely be making somewhere around $20 million. That is for one season of basically one full season of starting. So you're not sure, and I've, again, hammered this home 1,000 times. You're not sure if that is going to be what you consistently get from Keenum or if he will kind of come back down to earth. But nonetheless, the price tag for him is going to be somewhere around $20 million, probably excess of that as well. But that is okay. But then you go to Cousins, and he's going to get somewhere along the lines of probably $30 million. That's too much. The Vikings had Sam Bradford on the roster last year, and he played in a game and a half. And I know I talked about this yesterday too, but again, we just continue to get these little news tidbits about where this situation is headed. you had Bradford on the roster making $18 million a year. After the first game of the season, the Vikings were willing to the Vikings fans were willing to give him a max deal, which would probably have been similar to the amount of money that Kirk Cousins is looking for. And then everything went south with the knee. He played in half of a game the rest of the season, and that was it. So, again, they have paid money to quarterbacks before. And also, you look at just the market itself. Jimmy Garoppolo setting the market with his deal. He has started 7 career games. So that is a massive risk to be giving Jimmy Garoppolo the amount of money that they did for 7 career starts. He's been Tom Brady's backup for the last few seasons, had spot start duty this past year, 2 years ago, actually, after Brady was suspended. Other than that, he did not start, other than for the 49ers last year at the end of the season, for 5 games. That's all you have on him. All we really have on Keenum is the 1 year that he started this past year. There are 3 years of tape on Kirk Cousins, so you know what you're getting with him when they end up making the decision, if they end up making the decision to sign him to a long-term deal. So is $30 million a year a lot? Yes, but there are also going to be some deals that go north of that, such as Aaron Rodgers, who's waiting for an extension, and he will likely get more than any quarterback has ever had. So whatever ends up happening, if we do end up going with Cousins, there will be people that will think it's not a good financial decision. But then when Rodgers signs his extension, it's going to look like a bargain. So whether or not that report is true, that the Vikings are prepared to offer that sort of an extension to Cousins, we'll just have to wait and see, I guess. But some of the tweets that we read yesterday from Benjamin Albright certainly suggested that the Vikings were the leader in the clubhouse. And also with it being franchise day tag day today, just in a little bit ago from Ben Gessling, the window for teams to use their franchise tag is now closed. The Vikings did not use their tag on Case Keenum. He'll hit free agency next Wednesday, as will Teddy Bridgewater and Sam Bradford. So it seems a little bit more likely that they will be bringing in an outside quarterback, because the other thing about this is that the Vikings have had plenty of opportunity to work out some sort of a deal. They could have signed any of those quarterbacks to an extension throughout this entire period, and they have yet to. So it's interesting. We'll see what ends up happening with it, but we know for sure now that the franchise tag will not come into play with any of the current Vikings quarterbacks. So that, I guess, to me, likely means that it'll be a different quarterback on the roster next year. Now, plenty of other teams using their franchise tag today, and that includes the Pittsburgh Steelers, who again franchise tagged running back Le'Veon Bell. He will make $14.544 million this season. The Steelers and Bell have until July 15th to agree to a multi-year contract, or he will have to play the season on the franchise tag. Bell is an interesting case in terms of signing a long-term deal. And this is going to be similar to what happened with Jimmy Graham a couple of years ago with Seattle and also with New Orleans, that you've got a guy who is listed as one position, but could theoretically be another. Bell, over the last couple of years, has been extremely involved in the passing game. He had 45 receptions 85 receptions this past year, 75 the year before that, and also ran for 1,200 yards this past season with 9 touchdowns. Then you had 655 yards receiving, and he had right around 400 touches for 1,900 yards. So definitely worth the money. He does have some injury history that he carries with him, but you have to, I think, make the exception with a player like Bell. This is similar to what happened with the Vikings, where they gave Peterson his big extension. It'll maybe hamper you a little bit in some other areas, but you can make that work. But Bell's so integral to that Steelers offense that it would not make sense for them to go the same route that the Redskins did with Kirk Cousins, because you franchise him for a couple seasons to where then the franchise tag becomes so expensive that it doesn't make sense. And then you end up losing that player for basically nothing. Also, I should kind of go back as well. There were some rumors that the Redskins may franchise tag Kirk Cousins and then trade him, which would have been a very bold gamble for them to take, because with a player who is tagged for the third consecutive season, then they have the right to refuse the first deal that is presented. So that could have really blown up in the Redskins' faces, but they elected not to go that route. I guess I'm a little surprised by that. So Le'Veon Bell gets the franchise tag. Los Angeles Rams had a very tough choice. They placed the franchise tag on defensive back LaMarcus Joyner. He'll make $11.287 million this upcoming season. And Sammy Watkins then becomes an unrestricted free agent. And with teams that are looking for wide receiver help aplenty, he's going to be a very attractive free agent for a lot of teams. And my guess is he won't end up with the Rams this next season. But I don't really know where he'll end up. Just feels like it'll be somewhere other than where the Rams would like. Other franchise tag information, the Carolina Panthers avoiding using the franchise tag with their kicker, Graham Gano. They signed him to a 4-year deal worth $19 million. Graham Gano was an interesting target in free agency at the kicker spot if the Vikings would have been looking to make an upgrade there. Perfectly happy with Kai Forbath, and now they won't have to even ask the question because Gano is not headed to free agency. Also, the Jacksonville Jaguars are not going to tag wide receiver Allen Robinson, so he will become a free agent as well and becomes arguably the top target in free agency. So my guess is he will get a big deal somewhere to be the top wide receiver for a very wide receiver needy team. And also here today, the Chicago Bears putting the transition tag on Kyle Fuller, their cornerback, which will pay him $12.971 million. And it gives the Bears the right to match any potential offers that he receives in free agency. And if he does sign a deal with the team and the Bears do not match an offer sheet, they won't get any compensation in return. But if they do, then they get a draft pick in return if he does sign elsewhere. So that is about all we got for franchise tag day today. Looks like that is pretty much all that was done with franchise tags as of now. But with the deadline coming earlier today, there could be some others that pop up here later on today. We're going to take a quick break, but plenty more of the scoop is coming up after this.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. For the latest scores, play-by-play, schedules, and more, visit myklgr.com.
Back here on The Scoop, the Minnesota Wild in action tonight. They are hosting Carolina. The Wild come in 37-22-7. They've got 81 points and are currently 6-3-1 in their last 10 games. Now, something interesting for the Wild. You look at what they've been doing statistically here this season. Eric Staal having a very, very good year for the Wilds, and he is on the verge of doing something that has not been done hardly at all for the Wild. Eric Staal, unless he is injured or just has a complete shutdown in his point totals, Staal is set to become the first Wild player to score 70 points in a single season since Mikko Koivu put up 71 in 2009-2010. And Staal, some other incredible numbers for Staal. He had 36 combined goals in two seasons before coming to the Wild. He had 28 last year, and now has over 30 with 20 games remaining in the season. 34 goals, 31 assists on the season. And you look at how prolific this top line has been for the Wild, or at least two-thirds of the top line. You've got Eric Staal leading in points with 65, Mikael Granlund second. He's got 55 points, and Jason Zucker continues what has been a career renaissance for him. 28 goals now on the season, and continues to reestablish career highs in goals and also points. Had 47 points last year, and his career high before this year in goals was 22. So Zucker certainly playing well, which has coincided with the Wild playing well. And they are now back up to third place in the Western Conference with not a whole lot of games left to go on the schedule. We're getting right down to it here in the stretch run. So the Wild, after they take on Carolina tonight, they'll go on the road at Vancouver on Friday, at Edmonton on Saturday. Then they will host Colorado Tuesday the 13th, at Vegas on the 16th, at Arizona on the 17th, and then Monday hosting Los Angeles, Saturday the 24th hosting Nashville, Sunday the 25th hosting Boston, then Tuesday the 27th at Nashville, Thursday the 29th hosting Dallas, and then Saturday the 31st at Dallas. And in April, four games. April 2nd, home against Edmonton. April 4th at Anaheim. April 5th at Los Angeles. And April 7th at San Jose. It was not too long ago the Wild were mired in mediocrity, I guess would be the best way to put it. November 27th, they lost to Winnipeg 7-2. They were 11-10-3. And since that point, the Wilds have gone 26-12-4. So pretty obvious that they are playing much better here over the last handful of games. And it's going to be interesting to see with a little comparison to the Timberwolves, who seemed like they were a lock to make the playoffs not 2 weeks ago. It's now going to be interesting to see if one team does make it and one team doesn't make it. The Wilds, as things currently sit right now, are locked in to the third seed in the Central Division. So they are a point ahead of Dallas for the first wild card spot. But if they can keep it rolling here, then I think they have a real good shot to come away with potentially a playoff win. Just dominating at home, 23-5-6. On the road, not so much, but it's exactly like the Timberwolves. Great at home, not particularly good on the road. I'm not going to pick one or the other as to who I think will make the playoffs, and if one will not, I would hope that both the Wild and the Timberwolves can do enough to make the playoffs, but interesting to see how that has kind of flipped here over the last couple of months. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, speaking of the Timberwolves, they just can't seem to catch a break, and we'll talk about that when we come back after this.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Catch The Scoop Monday through Friday from 3 to 4 p.m. on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
Back here on The Scoop, and the NBA playoff race starting to intensify here with the Timberwolves battling back and forth for playoff positioning. Currently sitting in the sixth spot in the Western Conference, 38-28. They were as high as third, then dropped to sixth, and then we're back up to fourth, but then dropped again. And you look at where things are at, you've got the top two teams, Houston and Golden State, who are at 49 wins each. Golden State a half game back. They're one game back in the loss column. Portland is 12 games back in third. They're 38-26 at this point. Then you've got New Orleans is 36-26. They're 13 games back. Then you have San Antonio, 37-27. They're also 13 games back. Timberwolves, 38-28. They're 13 games back. Oklahoma City is 37-28 in the seventh spot. They're 13.5 games back. And then Denver is 35-28. They are 14.5 games out of that first spot in the West. The Clippers, I should say, 34-28. They're 15 games back. And Utah is 16 games back, 34-30. After that, that's pretty much it for the teams that are going to be chasing those top eight spots. I would say one and two are pretty much solidified here at this point. So it's getting a little dicey here as we move throughout the rest of the season. And over at On the Prowl, there was have been some looks at how things could potentially go here throughout the next couple of weeks. Alan Horton tweeting out back on March 2nd, with the loss to the Jazz and the Thunder's win over the Suns, the Wolves have dropped to 6th in the West standings. It's the first time in 88 days Minnesota has not been in the top four. So that a pretty big surprise for the Timberwolves. And looking at what could happen the rest of the way with this Timberwolves schedule. Let's just, for example, look at what the Wolves have coming up here over the next couple of weeks. They will play Thursday against Boston, which will be an extremely tough game. They lost to the Celtics earlier this year. Then Sunday, they'll play against Golden State. Tuesday, the 13th, at Washington, which will be an extremely tough game as well. Then Saturday, March 17th, at San Antonio. Sunday, March 18th, home against Houston. They could theoretically lose all five of those games. I would say that they have a shot to beat Washington. I suppose you can't completely count them out before the games are even played. That wouldn't be the right thing to do. But, I mean, with how they've played on the road and the caliber of teams that they will be playing, it is very conceivable that the Wolves could end up losing those five games in a row at that point. And then they would basically be on the outside looking in. Now, the schedule gets a lot easier after that. They'll host the Clippers on March 20th, then go at the New York Knicks on the 23rd, at Philadelphia on the 24th, Monday the 26th, home against Memphis, Wednesday the 28th, home against Atlanta, Friday, March 30th, at Dallas. So even that week, that Monday, Wednesday, Friday, home against Memphis, home against Atlanta, at Dallas, that is an extremely easy portion of the schedule right there. So that is a spot where the Timberwolves could get some of those games back if they do end up doing that. But then look at the rest of the schedule. April 1st, home against Utah. April 5th at Denver. April 6th at the Lakers. Then Monday, April 9th, home against Memphis. Wednesday, April 11th, home against Denver. So for every game that they continue to drop here near the end of the season, and the Wolves are 4-6 in their last 10 games. They've lost two in a row, so that's not ideal. For every game, though, that you continue to kind of go through this funk, the post-Jimmy Butler transition, I guess, would be the best way to put it. Every game that you continue to lose then puts more pressure on trying to keep up with the other teams at the top, which includes the likes of Portland, who has won 7 in a row, New Orleans, who's won 8 in a row, the Spurs are 3-7 in their last 10 games, but Oklahoma City, 6-4 in their last 10, Denver, 7-3 in their last 10, the Clippers, 7-3 in their last 10, the Jazz are 8-2 in their last 10 games. So it's a precarious spot to be in, to say the least, with where this team was at, with us basically thinking that a playoff spot was in the bag, to now it looking like it could come down to those final few games of the season. That is quite a change for the Wolves and for a franchise fan base that has not seen the playoffs in over a decade. That's quite a strange spot to be in with this team. But, you know, you have to just hope that they can get it figured out. There have been some positive signs after Jimmy Butler got hurt. But let's just look. We'll start off with Portland. Let's just look at what these teams have coming up here over their next handful of games. Portland, as mentioned, coming back to beat the Lakers 108-103 last night, behind 39 points from Damian Lillard. They will play the New York Knicks at home tonight, and the Knicks without the likes of Kristaps Porzingis, so that's certainly a winnable game. You feel like that's one that the Knicks should win. Of course, I say should because there have been strange things that have happened before. So you figure that that's a game that the Blazers should win. Then after that, they host Golden State on Friday the 9th, and they've already beaten Golden State this year once. So that would be a game that I would give them a chance in at home. After that, Then they host the Miami Heat on Monday the 12th, host Cleveland on Thursday the 15th, host Detroit on Saturday the 17th, at the Los Angeles Clippers on March 18th, home against Houston on the 20th, Boston at home again on the 23rd, Sunday the 25th at Oklahoma City, Tuesday, March 27th at New Orleans, Wednesday, March 28th at Memphis, Friday the 30th at the Clippers, and then to finish off the month of April, April 1st, home against Memphis, April 3rd at Dallas, April 5th at Houston, April 7th at San Antonio, April 9th at Denver, and April 11th home against Utah. So four of their final six games are on the road. That is certainly a plus for Timberwolves fans, but that is going to be a stretch that could really make or break the Trailblazers, because it's not particularly easy, but at the same time, the Blazers have been playing very, very well here recently, so they can certainly handle it. But that's just what Portland has at the three seed right now. Taking a look at what the Pelicans have coming up to finish off the regular season, Portland will be hosting the Clippers. Will be at the Clippers, I beg your pardon, tonight. Then tomorrow night at Sacramento, Friday home against Washington, Sunday home against Utah, Tuesday home against Charlotte, Thursday at San Antonio, Saturday home against Houston, Sunday home against Boston, Tuesday home against Dallas, Wednesday home against Indiana, Thursday home against Los Angeles. So that back-to-back-to-back could be very key coming up the 20th through the 22nd. Then Saturday at Houston, Saturday the 24th at Houston, Tuesday the 27th home against Portland, Friday the 30th at Cleveland, then April 1st home against Oklahoma City, April 4th home against Memphis, Friday April 6th at Phoenix, Saturday April 7th at Golden State, Monday April 9th at the Los Angeles Clippers, and Wednesday April 11th home against San Antonio. The one common theme that we're seeing amongst the rest of the Western Conference contenders is that they're going to end up playing each other quite a bit here at the end of the season, which would then theoretically mean that they're going to beat up on each other here the rest of the season. Now, San Antonio and On the Prowl did a crunch of this. Their final 18 games at Warriors, at Thunder, at Rockets, home against the Magic, Pelicans, Timberwolves, Warriors, Wizards, Jazz, at Bucks, at Wizards, home against the Thunder, home against the Rockets, at the Clippers, at the Lakers, home against the Trailblazers, home against the Kings, and at the Pelicans. And that is a gauntlet of a schedule as well, which could put more pressure on the Spurs to drop out than the Timberwolves. Because we got to keep in mind, the Spurs are without the services of Kawhi Leonard, and also LaMarcus Aldridge has been banged up. So that could be a stretch that really ends up hurting the San Antonio Spurs as opposed to the Timberwolves. So that could be one potential situation in which the Wolves make it and the Spurs don't. But, you look at all these teams that are still in the Western Conference fight. The Wolves have the tiebreaker over Oklahoma City. They have the tiebreaker over New Orleans. They will battle the Clippers a couple more times, Denver a couple more times, and they split with Portland, and I believe they have one more coming with the Jazz as well. So if the Wolves can grab a bunch of these tiebreakers, then that's going to help them quite a bit as well. But it is truly going to come down to the end of the season before we have any idea who is going to the playoffs. So Wolves just need to keep putting the pedal to the metal and can't really afford any slip-ups here the rest of the way. Otherwise, they'll likely be watching from the outside once the playoffs get going. So a little update on the playoff situation for the Timberwolves. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll look at what's on deck for tonight. That is coming up after this.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. For the latest scores, play-by-play, schedules, and more, visit myklgr.com.
Let's take a look at what's on deck here for tonight. We will start off in the NBA. Philadelphia is at Charlotte tonight at 6 o'clock. Atlanta at Toronto at 6 o'clock. Miami is at Washington at 6 o'clock. Houston at Oklahoma City at 7. Denver at Dallas at 7:30. The New York Knicks at Portland at 9 o'clock. Brooklyn at Golden State at 9:30. And New Orleans at the Los Angeles Clippers at 9:30 tonight. Big Ten men's basketball, top 25 in action this evening. Number 6, Gonzaga hosting BYU. That is the only top 25 team in action here this evening. Moving on to the NHL. Schedule for tonight, Detroit at Boston at 7 Eastern, Montreal at New Jersey at 7 Eastern, Winnipeg at the New York Rangers at 7 Eastern, Vegas at Columbus at 7 Eastern, Florida at Tampa Bay at 7:30 Eastern, Dallas at Nashville at 8 Eastern, Carolina at the Minnesota Wild, that's at 8 Eastern tonight, Colorado at Chicago at 8:30 Eastern, and Washington at Anaheim at 10 o'clock Eastern time. That is a look at what's on deck. It is time for us to wrap it up for today. That does it for today's edition of The Scoop. Coming up tomorrow, full guest list, as we'll be joined by Cal Soderquist of the Timberwolves Radio Network. Plus, Brandon Warren will join us, and we'll talk about a topic we had discussed yesterday with Brian Dozier, set to hit free agency. We'll take a look at the potential for the Twins to lock him up to a long-term deal. Plus, we'll talk about another young Twins superstar in the making that could potentially be looking at an extension as well. So that's coming up on the show tomorrow. Have a great rest of your afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow at 3:05 here on KLGR Redwood Falls.